Hi, Whiteford Bobcats. This is Mrs. Bowen, and I'm reading Chapter 21, I Don't Feel Like Holding Hands Right Now. For a split second, I thought I'd gotten my real power, that maybe Juanita had figured out how to use the special phone before Charles had stolen it from her. But the high-pitched laughter that pierced the air told me the truth. I wasn't flying at all. I was trapped. I waved my arms and kicked my legs. It felt like I was in zero gravity, and nothing I did helped me move. I saw that Benny and Juanita were in the same predicament. Both hovered a foot off the ground. In a moment, Charles gathered up our phones and put them in his trench coat pocket. "You know," said Charles, "when I was a boy, I always wanted to fly. I wanted to soar over the trees and spit on people who were trapped on the ground. You can imagine my disappointment when I got a power that let me make everyone fly but myself." He shrugged. "But you find ways to use the power that's given to you." Another bout of disorientation came over me as I rose higher into the air. I was 6 feet off the ground when Charles grabbed me by my pant leg. I tried to break loose, but his grip was too tight. He pulled me like a helium-filled balloon to the middle of a clearing surrounded by piles of trash. Then he went for Benny and Juanita. I didn't like what I was seeing. "You know, it's kind of sad how easy it was to keep your families fighting," Charles said as he grabbed Benny and pulled him toward me. "You're so concerned about looking heroic and fighting with the other family that you don't even notice the real threat to the city." Charles left Benny hovering near me and then returning for Juanita. I was ready to grasp at straws. "I'm a little disappointed," I said. "We didn't come looking for some low-level henchmen. We came looking for October Jones." The villain looked at me sharply, then smiled. "My, my, you really are full of surprises. If there was any question about your fate, you just sealed it. Grandpa certainly won't want you around if you know his name." Grandpa. October Jones. Leader of the Jones family. At least in Split Rock. My stomach filled with ice. Charles left Juanita hovering by Benny and me. "Why are you bothering with 3 kids who don't even have real superpowers?" Juanita asked. I thought I heard a hint of fear in her voice. "Actually, you're much more dangerous than you think," Charles said. "Oh, sure, your powers are worthless. But Grandpa has gone to great lengths to make sure that Baileys and Johnsons don't start talking to each other. That could ruin everything." "Talking?" Juanita said. "You're afraid of a few kids talking?" Charles's face turned dark. "You don't think talking can mess things up? We had a wonderful surprise planned for tonight. Right now, every superhero in the city should have been in the stadium." His face became dark. "You see how many problems you've caused?" He turned and walked back to the van. "I'm starting to think we might be in big trouble," Benny said. Charles climbed inside the vehicle, and I noticed I dropped a little in the air. I wondered how much concentration it took to keep the 3 of us hovering. The henchmen returned. "Now I get to show you what happens when you go snooping around in the Jones family business." He pulled something from inside his coat pocket. At first, I thought he had 3 long cigars taped together. "Dynamite," Benny said. Charles flashed a wicked grin. "Grandpa likes it when I'm thorough. And of course, I like big bangs, so it's a win-win." He dropped the dynamite at our feet, patted his pockets, and pulled out a small box of matches. "It's my lucky day," he said. "I've only got 1 match left, but 1 match is all I need." For a split second, I had the wild idea that I would use my power to save the day. Charles had a match. I had a power that let me strike matches on polyester. Somehow, everything would work out in the end. But my power helped light matches, and more than anything on earth, I didn't want that match to burn. My mind raced, but I couldn't think fast enough. Charles kneeled next to the pile, striking the match on the side of the box. His face glowed as the match flared. I heard a noise off to my right, and the match went out. "What the?" Charles said. "Why is my hand wet?" He looked up at Juanita. "Did you just spit at me?" "I'm a Johnson," she shrugged. "I get a lot of practice." Benny hooted. Charles glared at Juanita and wiped his hand on his coat. His voice dripped with hate. "You silly girl. You think because now that I don't have a match, I'm going to let you all go free? All you've done is make it so I have to go get my lighter." Charles shot Juanita one last menacing look, then turned and walked back to the van. "What do we do?" Benny whispered. Benny always looked to me for answers, but tonight I didn't have any. Not this time. I felt like my world was crashing down around me. All I'd ever wanted was to save the day. And here we finally had a chance. Not just to fight the Johnsons, but to really save the day. To do something important. And when it really mattered, I'd come up short. In the end, I didn't have what it took to be super. "We can do this," Benny said. "Rafter, you're the one who is always talking about tactics. What's our plan?" I shook my head. "This is different, Benny. This is real." Benny was pleading now. "Listen, pretend you're looking through the monitors. All of us are the green dots moving around. What would you tell us to do?" I shook my head. "It's hopeless, Benny." "Please," his voice was a whisper, "just try." Benny didn't get it. There was nothing to do. All was lost. All is lost. The words triggered something deep in the back of my mind. A voice, rough and gravelly, whispered to me. I recognized it at once. The voice of Grandpa. When all is lost and hope is nowhere to be found, at that moment, a superhero stands up, looks evil right in the eyes, and says, "Is that the best you can do?" I felt a low burn of anger. Maybe I did get a worthless power, but that didn't mean I was worthless. Taking a deep breath, I closed my eyes and drew a map in my mind. The garbage piles, the van, the tower. I placed four dots on the map. Me, Benny, Juanita, and Charles. The three of us were immobile. There had to be something. No weapons, no phones. There had to be something. Our powers. I had to examine all the options. I had no matches. Juanita had no toilet. Benny could do his push-ups, but that wasn't... No, not push-ups. Benny's power was his belly button. But that didn't help either because... push-ups. I opened my eyes. A single idea. I looked at Benny, judging the distance between the two of us. He nodded, and I saw a complete trust in his face. Charles was still rummaging around in the front of the van. "Benny," I whispered, "give me your hand." "What?" Benny asked. "I don't feel like holding hands right now." "No, I need to be closer to you. Grab my hand." Benny reached out. I leaned as far as I could. We were still too far apart. "Stretch," I said. He reached out, his fingers quivering. Our hands were still a good 6 inches apart. Juanita twisted in the darkness. "I think I can help." She bent at her waist and then reared back, kicking Benny in the backside. She drifted back and Benny drifted forward. "I never pass up a chance to kick a Bailey," Juanita said with a smile. I reached out. "Gotcha," I said, and pulled him close. I used Benny to spin myself in the air. I now faced Charles, who had just closed the door of the van. Benny was behind me. "Okay," I whispered. "When I give the word, push me hard, right at Charles." "What are you talking about?" Benny asked. "You're the one who's been doing all those push-ups," I said. Now is the time to see just how strong you are. Remember, push me when I give you the word. What's the word? Benny asked. Shh, I hissed back. Charles returned, a lighter in his hand. His smirk was maddening. He bent over and picked up the dynamite. I hope you don't take this personally. He flicked the lighter. I'm just following orders. I took all of my concentration and control to keep my voice steady. Hey, Chuck. He looked up and sneered. I don't think he liked the nickname Chuck. Yes? You want to beg for your life? I took a deep breath. Is this the best you can do? What? Charles said, and I heard genuine confusion in his voice. I said, is this the best you can do? Because if it is, it's not enough to stop three superheroes. Charles snorted. You've got guts, kid, he said. Too bad you're on the wrong side. The lighter flared to life. Now, I shouted, hoping beyond hope that Benny would understand that now was the word. He did. Benny pushed me, and I promised myself right then and there that I would never make fun of him for doing push-ups again, because when he pushed me hard. I went flying toward Charles. The villain looked up, his eyes wide as he tried to move out of the way. He was too late. I grabbed his trench coat and smashed against his left shoulder. We both went tumbling to the ground. The dynamite went flying and I felt my stomach drop. The three sticks had a single wick extending from one end. Sparks flew from the tip of the wick. Charles ended up face down in the snow, but he was already struggling to get up. I crawled forward, grabbing him in a headlock and trying to keep him immobile. I saw Benny and Juanita fall to the ground. Charles could only concentrate on so many things at once, and right now he must have been focused on me, or maybe the spitting wick just a few feet from our faces. Benny, I shouted, get the dynamite. I kicked at one of Charles's legs and as he tried to stand. He struggled against my grip, but I held him tight. He jammed an elbow in my rib cage, and I felt the breath go out of me. I grabbed at his head, and my hand came away with his stocking cap. I saw metal flashing in the moonlight. What the? I couldn't help my surprise. Charles's head was shaved. Half of it was skin, the other half, a metallic dome. The dome was flush with the skin, almost as if his skull was made of metal, and part of the skin had come off. I didn't exactly have time to ask him why half of his head was a metal plate. Juanita called from my right. No one calls me silly. She dove at Charles's feet and wrapped her arms around his legs. He kicked with his heavy boots, but Juanita hung on for dear life. It reminded me of a cowboy riding a bull. Get off of me, you rotten kids! Benny had the dynamite in his hand. It made me sick to see my brother holding explosives. No supersuit, nothing to protect him. What do I do with it? He yelled. I doubted Benny could throw it far enough to keep us all safe, and I didn't know what would happen if he tried to pull the wick out. I said the first thing that popped into my head. Put it in the glove compartment. It's a T9. Benny's face brightened. Holy cow, you're right. He raced toward the van, the wick bouncing and sparkling in the darkness. Charles elbowed me in the teeth. I heard the van door open and close. Juanita let go of Charles and crawled away from the fight, leaving Charles to struggle to his feet. Juanita, I said, help! Juanita was kneeling in the mud, hunched over with her back toward me. She didn't turn around. Benny came running, but he didn't get to us in time. Charles twisted and broke free of my grasp. I went sprawling into the dirt, and before I could get up, the familiar disorientation filled my mind. For the second time that night, I found myself hovering in the cold air. Juanita and Benny were also trapped, spinning and floating 6 inches above the ground. Charles got to his feet, seething and scowling. "You kids are really starting to get on my nerves," he said, his voice sounding like a growl. He wiped a trickle of blood from his nose, then picked up his stocking cap and placed it over his half-metal, half-skin head. "When I get finished with you..." A crash broke the silence of the cold March night. It wasn't an explosion of 3 sticks of dynamite. It was more like 0.3 sticks of dynamite. The T-9 had done its job. Still, even 0.3 sticks of dynamite does damage. The explosion shattered the van windows and flames poured up toward the stars, silhouetting Charles against the yellow glow. The villain covered his head, and I watched as the passenger door of the van blew off its hinges. The vehicle lurched 3 feet into the air, then crashed back down to the ground. Smoke poured out of the windows, but the van still looked like it might be functional. "Woo-wee!" Benny shouted. "That T-9 is one strong glove compartment." Charles looked in disbelief at his smoking vehicle. "My van," he said, then slowly turned to face the three of us. "You don't think I can do things the hard way?" His voice was cold. "You're about to find out just how unpleasant the hard way is." He leaned over and pulled a wicked-looking knife from one of his boots. "Hey, Charles," Juanita said behind me. Her voice was surprisingly calm. "What does this button do?" Charles looked confused for a split second. Then he leaped forward. Juanita held Charles's phone in her hand. The tower began to whine and crackle. Charles grabbed at the phone, but Juanita was still floating. She kicked at his chest and held the phone out of reach. The noise grew until the tower seemed to scream with an electronic buzz. Then there was a flash of light and a loud explosion. The three of us went crashing to the ground.